reading to you from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, and with the 27th verse. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe, and as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Boy, these last 51 years have shot by. You know, before I was saved, I thought Christians are the dullest people in the world. They never have a good time. That's a bunch of hooey. I've enjoyed life this past 51 years. The first 30 years of my life was a living hell. But after I met Jesus, he changed it all. Listen, I'll be with you for a few minutes tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and maybe a glass of iced tea or a lemonade or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the 16th chapter of Book of Mark, and let's begin reading with the first verse. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came upon the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said unto themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garments, and they were frightened. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you unto Galilee, there shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said there anything to any man, for they were afraid. Well, who shall roll away the stone? First of all, the importance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was fulfilled, the promise of Christ to his disciples. He told us in Matthew that he would come back. And friends, listen, that must have been a terrible shock to those 12 when Jesus said he had to go away and had to go to the cross and die for their sins. They couldn't understand that. And even I, who have known the Lord for 51 years, do not understand how or why he would do that. John 3:16 answers it, though. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who does that take in? It takes in the whole world. It takes in the black, the white, the brown, the yellow. It takes in the poor and the rich, the good-looking and the ugly, the fat and the thin. It takes in everybody. It's universal, international. Whosoever will may come. Well, the women came to the tomb bringing spices. They wanted to anoint Jesus' body. He was wrapped in grave clothes. And the third day after the crucifixion, he said he would rise, you know. But they on that trip to anoint the body of Jesus. And now the question was, who shall roll us away the stone? Because the stone was huge. Man, it was a big stone. Hey, the stone speaks of the despair of death. The stone blocked the way to the tomb. Those outside could not get in, and those inside could not get out. It was supposed they couldn't get out. You know, those crazy people, when they put Jesus in the tomb, they said, that is it. He is finished. Fini. He's through. And no more do we have to listen to his nonsense. Oh, you're in for a surprise, big boy. Because my Jesus rose from the grave. Oh, friends, that's the greatest news for anybody in the whole world, that Jesus did rise. Now, this speaks of death holding loved ones from us, but the stone was truly rolled away. We will someday see our loved ones who have died. Listen, friends, I got a mom and a dad, two brothers and two sisters in heaven. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be when I get to see my mama, who I missed so terribly much. She died when I was 13, and I see my daddy, and he died when I was 17. Oh, I'll be glad to see them, but oh, friends, even more than that, I want to see Jesus, because he was the one that took this old drunk out of the gutter. He's the one that saved my soul and set my foot on a solid rock. It was Jesus, not the church, not baptism, not the Lord's Supper, not good works. But he saved me by grace through faith. Oh, friends, listen, if you're trying to get to heaven by being a member of a church, you're in for one terrible surprise, because you won't get in. And if you think you can buy your way in, you're going to be surprised. Did you see where that multi-billionaire gave that money away? Well, I'm glad he did. And I hope that I would put a lot of it to work in America, and I wouldn't send it all to Africa. They're trying to find a cure for AIDS, and I'm glad they are. But we got a lot of people in America. We've got a lot of poverty-stricken people in America. We've got people in Florida who go down to the grocery store and buy a can of dog food and go home and eat it because they can't afford food. You say, what? In America? Yes. In the land of the milk and honey. I love this country. I love my flag. But I'll tell you, friends, we've got some corruption in the Democrats, in the Republicans, in the Independents. They're just human men. And they get in there and they are tempted. And they can sell their influence. And they can make millions. That's just corruption. I don't want that kind of temptation. Do you? Absolutely not. No siree. But the stone could not keep Jesus in the tomb. There was nothing in this world that could keep Jesus in the tomb, because he said he would arise in 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so must the Son of Man be, and then he shall come forth. Praise God, he did come forth. If there was no resurrection, I wouldn't have anything to preach about tonight. It'd just be a bunch of worthless words. See, the stone speaks of the effort of the enemies of Jesus. The stone was sealed by the Roman Empire, boy. They were big machos. This was done at the request of the priests and the Pharisees, the religious lost leaders of the day. Formalistic, faithless religious leaders were enemies of Jesus. We have churches today that are enemies of Jesus. We have the Witkins, and we have this, and we have that. We have cults. We have the JWs, and we have the law keepers. And I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying they're wrong. And if you follow their doctrine, you will be lost. The Mormons, let me tell you what. The Mormons, I'll tell you this right up front, they're family-oriented people, but they're dead wrong. Joseph Smith was a whoremonger. And the other guy, he was as bad. Oh, yes, they were. Now they have another book, the Book of Mormons. They will not accept God's holy, unerring word. Read the last chapter of the Book of Revelation. Add to this book, and I'll add to the plagues of life. Take things out, and I'll take out your out of life for you. Yes, the pagan Roman Empire was an enemy of Jesus. There were also supernatural enemies of Jesus. Jesus said his enemies were children of Satan. Demoniac forces are to be reckoned with even now today. Do you remember when Jesus and his disciples got on their little boat and they went over to the island of Gadara and they saw this poor demon-possessed man out in a cemetery? They couldn't hold him with chains. Oh, he was in terrible repair. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out. And Jesus put those old pigs and the demons and the pigs, and they all went in the water and drowned. And the people in the island said, "Get off in this island. We don't want you here." But you know what the beautiful part of this whole thing was? The next scene, after Jesus had cast out the demons and healed the man and saved him, they were going back to the ship. Their job was done. That's what they come over there to do. And Jesus turned around, and here was this demoniac paddywhacking behind him. Jesus said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, Lord," he said, "I want to go with you. I want to follow you." He said, "Son, listen. Go back to your loved ones, your friends, and your family, and show them what I did." Beloved, not so too many years ago, my wife and I, we flew into Memphis, Tennessee to our ship's reunion. 150 or 200 of my shipmates and their wives, our skipper and many officers were there. And I'll tell you right now, I had a chance to speak to my whole ship. And I got up there with tears in my eyes and I said, "Men, you remember when I was an alcoholic? You remember when I did terrible things I did? But today, I'm free of that. I have Jesus. And not only do I have Jesus, but he called me to go into the world and preach the gospel to ever-living creature." You would be surprised the hugs that I got from my shipmates and their wives. They were thanking me for telling the good news of what happened to me. See, they saw it change life. This demoniac, the reason Jesus wanted him to go back to his family, because they knew the life he was living. They knew he was full of demons, and now he's in his right mind. My wife will tell you this. I left home one morning, drunk out of my mind, a raging maniac. I came back five hours later, sane, sober, and saved. Praise God, and you know what? He took away my alcohol. He delivered me from alcohol. So if you have an alcoholic loved one or a friend and you would like to have me talk to them, give me a ring at 303-471-8534. I'd be more than happy to talk to them. No, I won't preach to them. I'll just tell them what Jesus did for me. Well, friend, the stone speaks of anything that separates us from our Savior. The women see for themselves, helplessly standing before the stone. What are we going to do? Well, they believe the stone will keep them separated from Jesus. See, sin separates people from Jesus. That's right. Do you remember what Adam and Eve did out in the garden? Everything was going hunky-dory. And that old Satan come down as a snake. And he told Eve that that God had lied to her. That if she took of this tree, she would be as smart as God, and she bought it. Sin looks good to the eye. I used to tell my wife, "Come with me and go down to the bar. They're friendly people." They were my friends. My wife said, "It's evil." She knew it was evil, even though she was lost. Jesus welcomes and forgives those who bring their sins to him. Isn't that wonderful? Those who trust Jesus will not be separated from him ever. Or ever. Someone said, "Oh, but Cecil, wait a minute. I've been taught that you can be saved today and you can be lost tomorrow." Well, you didn't find that in the Bible. You found that from some half-witted preacher that didn't know his left hand from his right hand. You don't lose it if you've got it. If you truly are born again, your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, and nobody can take it out. Just think of it. See, when the women arrived, the stone had already been rolled away. Look in faith to Jesus, the one who is always approachable. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, you got a troubled heart. You're going to lose your job. Maybe something has happened financially in your life, and you're beside yourself. You don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you what to do. Sit down and have a little talk with Jesus. Oh, please, tell him what's on your heart. He wants to hear. That's why we call him our personal Savior. Not Jim's Savior, your Savior, my Savior. Put away your fears. The stone has been rolled away. Tell the good news. Christ is risen. Rejoice. The stone has been rolled away. Let me ask you, has the stone been rolled away in your heart tonight? How do you feel? Do you feel a tugging at your heart tonight? A real serious tugging at your heart? Well, let me tell you what it is. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. If you're not saved, you say, well, I'm already saved, Cecil, but boy, I've strayed. Well, what does he say to do? Confess it and come back, and he'll forgive it. He'll forgive you if you'll confess it and turn your back on the old way of life. He won't hold that against you. He sure won't. But if you're not saved tonight and you feel a tugging at your heart, I want to ask you, would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to have all of your sins cast into a sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be remembered again? If so, and I ask you, I beg of you, do not pray this prayer if you really, really don't mean it, because you can get yourself in trouble. But if you are serious, I want you to bow your head to me right now, and I want you to pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I beg of you, come into my heart and save me, Lord, tonight. For Jesus' sake, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. Friends, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Oh, there's a lot of churches would like to take you in. Find a good Christ-honoring church. Get you a good study Bible. Start reading the scriptures. Start in the book of John and go through John. Oh, you'll find a lot of material in there that would really help you. And then go through the book. Read, pray, tell him your needs, and he'll take care of you. I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534.
Somehow hurt you.
Friends, for the past hour, your half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear friends, for listening. And oh, I pray we said something that would encourage your heart. Take a good deep breath. Bow your head and say, Lord, I got a problem. And it's serious. And Lord, Cecil said you can handle it. And he can. He sure can. But he wants you to lead on him, rely upon him, trust him, obey him, live for him, go and tell. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to pray for Gene and I, pray for our health, and pray we're hopefully going to go to the West Coast to see my 96-year-old mother-in-law, I hope, next month. Well, friends, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.